Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us for the Only Living Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for being here and joining us and teaching us and exhorting us and showing us the way of deliverance, Lord. Thank you so much, Father. You're doing such a great job for us. Well, I'm going to continue on with the series Bride Rewarded, Factious and Apostates Judged. This will be number 7. I'm going to do something I've never done before here. I'm going to repeat a revelation that I shared in part 6. And that was because I got it at the last minute and I didn't have time to look it over good, even though I think everything there was right. And I left everything I did there the first time in there, but I put a lot more in this one, and it leads us to a subject that I think is very important. We are seeing wonderful deliverances in our local assembly. People are really rejoicing. Testimonies are just going forth one right after another. And that's because we took this seriously about cleaning up the body. I mean, talking about cleaning up things that you inherited or cleaning up things that you got along the way in your family, in your early life, people getting rid of rejection, you know, which was inherited or received, you know, in their early life, and just things all the way back to their childhood being wiped out. I want to talk to you about that. But first, I'm going to look at this dream again with a little bit more consideration. I ran out of time last time. This was Eve Brass. Dream from 5:21:19, the clean large house. This is updated. Okay. I dreamed that I was outside my father's land with the two mobile homes. Well, we know from past experience that the left side mobile home has represented the rebellious faction, and the right mobile home, the righteous in other dreams. It has just like the goats on the left and the sheep on the right in Jesus' parable. Eve said, I was standing midway on the long gravel driveway in between the entrance to the land and the two mobile homes. It was morning time around 9 a.m. 9 is important here. And sunny outside, and I was helping my dad clean up all the junk metal off of the property. Well, amen. Our father and the bride, represented by Eve here, are cleaning up his property, getting rid of the wreckage of lives and livelihoods. Now, Eve had a note here. She says, in real life, my dad ran a scrap metal operation on this land when I was growing up. The number 9 is used 49 times in the scripture and symbolizes divine completeness or conveys the meaning of finality. Christ died on the 9th hour of the day or 3 p.m. to make the way of salvation open to everyone. The Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, is the only one of God's annual feast days to worship that requires believers to fast for one day, and this special day, considered by many Jews to be the holiest of the year, begins at sunset on the 9th day of the 7th month, Leviticus 23:32. 9 also represents the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, which are faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, joy, kindness, long-suffering, love, peace, self-control, Galatians 5:22-23. I was dressed in a white T-shirt and blue jeans, and I was wearing a ball cap and work gloves, and my dad had on a multicolored plaid shirt and jeans, and he, too, was wearing work gloves. The work gloves protected our hands from getting cut by all the sharp metal that had become marred and twisted from my dad's scrapping procedures that he did to strip and to clean the metal so that he could take them to scrap yards for smelting. And The important part about this is that she says, but now he was done with the business and wanted to restore the land by getting all the metal off of it. And she says this represents separating metals from metals so that their value is higher. Actually, they're useless. If you smelt them, you have to smelt pure metal to pure metal, the same kind of metal, or it's not very valuable. And now the father is finished with the cleaning up process. So this whole thing, this whole revelation is about the cleaning up process. And then I'm going to share you with you at the end what you can do to clean up your household, your family, your group, so on and so forth. Okay. And now the father's finished with the cleaning up process and is ready to take it all to the scrapyard, not only to restore the land but for its original purpose but of planting, but to redeem the value of the metal and receive a return on all his hard work. Well, we know that Father does separate us into different metals in the Bible, like gold, silver, brass, steel, tin, etc. But you'll notice that the metals are not valuable until they are separated from one another, because when a person wants something made out of this particular metal, you can't have a whole bunch of mixtures in there. Tin is actually a mixture, and that's why I put it in there too, because it's in the scriptures. And we know that we can go from 30, 60 to 100-fold fruit, which is likened in the scripture from like brass to silver to gold, right? So the most valuable metal is what a person wants to be, right? I heard a loud gas tanker coming up the road, and I looked and I saw it turning into our driveway. It was coming through an old covered wooden bridge that was over a creek that separated our land from the road. She said this wasn't so in real life. You know, there was nothing there. So this is a representation. And she says what it represents, and I agree, that the water of the word separates God's people from the world. The highway is for everybody, you know. But the yard belongs to you, right? The man driving the tanker truck was a friend of my dad's, and he was dressed in a blue service uniform and hat that matched the color of the truck. Blue, of course, is heavenly, right? Which was solid blue, even the tank. And I believe this man represents the Holy Spirit bringing his power to the land and to the bride. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, there's many out there listening, I'm sure, that haven't received the Holy Spirit with power. And, of course, many were told by their religion that you got that automatically, but that's not true. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed, the Bible says. So when a person becomes a believer, they're entitled to get it. It may be immediately afterwards, or it might be down the road that they decide they want to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want the Holy Spirit, get it the way they got it. If you get what they got, you'll do what they did. If you don't get what they got, you won't do what they did. You'll just be another dead religious person. Okay? They received power. The manifestations of the Spirit came with the Spirit. The most common, of course, is speaking in tongues. It's very powerful to speak in tongues because the Holy Spirit prays through for you for things that you don't even know you need. And so it's very powerful. That's why it's the most given gift out there, because it's the most important. Some people say, no, it's not. It's the least important. That's crazy. Why does God give it more than any other gift, right? In fact, you'll find out that people that don't have tongues don't have the rest of the gifts too. Mm-hmm. So that's a sign there. Now, he pulled the truck up into the mobile homes, up to the mobile home, and got out as my dad greeted him and shook his hand. My dad had ordered a refill of his gas tank that looked like a small white butane tank that you could use for a barbecue grill. Well, the power brings the fire that sacrifices the flesh, right? Barbecue grill. The man unwound a large black rubber hose from the truck and dragged it up to the covered porch of the mobile homes. And that was what? To pour out the power, right? Yeah. He will pour out the power on you. What are you waiting for, right? The covering that my dad had built over the large concrete porch had a dividing wall that supported the covering and separated the two mobile homes. The left side mobile home was represented, of course, by the rebellious faction and apostates, I would say, in other dreams, and the right side, the righteous. She said there was a doorway, though, that you could pass through to get from one side of the porch to the other. And this was so in real life. The man met my dad over on the left front of the porch, and they refilled the small white tank. I believe that the pure will be filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's what the Holy Spirit comes to do, to clean up your house, right? He is the Spirit of God. She said, my dad, which I believe is the father, thanked the man and he wound the hose back onto the truck and backed out of the driveway. She has in parenthesis, father is filling up the tank for a barbecue of flesh for the left side mobile home, which represents God's rebellious people. Yes, and my thought is that this indicates a judgment, a sacrifice of flesh planned for the factious. Malachi 4:1 says, for behold, the day cometh, it burneth as a furnace, and all the proud and all that work wickedness shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. And it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Matthew 13:30 says, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather up first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. So we have come to the harvest, and he's doing it right in front of our eyes. Then my dad went into the right side mobile home, and I walked the rest of the way up the driveway and followed him inside. So our father and the bride will be in the right side tabernacle or portable home, mobile home, right? We are a tabernacle in the wilderness, aren't we? Yes. And when I got inside, the mobile home was the size of a double wide on the inside, even though it looked like a single wide on the outside. That's, of course, spiritual. There's plenty of room spiritually for you to do what you need to do when we graduate to the larger house, right? This is a house of God, right? The ceilings were much higher too. So as we've spoken before, the larger place or house represents blessing, growth, freedom, greater ministry, more people, etc. And this is a reward to be given for those sanctified of sin and accounted worthy to be in the bride. She said the whole inside had been refurbished and looked brand new. That shouldn't surprise you. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. What we're doing is we're learning to live in all parts of our being in Christ. That's the new creature. It's the new house, right? He is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, they are become new. And verse 18 says, but all things are of God, who reconciled us unto himself through Christ and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. And as we've spoken before, the ministry of reconciliation is to take what belongs to you from God and give to Him what you don't want or don't need. He gave you His blessings from the cross and because of the cross, and He took away your curse and your sins and nailed them on that cross. A reconciliation is an exchange. He made this already. What we're doing in this life is getting cleaned up, which is this ministry of reconciliation. And Eve said everything was so clean, cleaner than possible in real life. She said this represents the larger house or larger place in God that the Lord is bringing us into. Amen. The living room and kitchen were open and only partially separated by a kitchen countertop made of marble. I saw a huge mural painted on the kitchen wall of the saints with halos above their head. Now, that don't mean much to the Protestants, you know, but halos in the Catholic Church means you're holy. Of course, they make saints people, they're saints after they're dead. But we know that you're saints here or you're going to stay dead. So anyway, this is a symbol anyway. They were dressed in all colors of the rainbow. Mm-hmm. And they were holding lit candles and worshiping the Lord. And she said, this house is prepared for and made up of the true saints of God. The many colors, I believe, represent the godly attributes of light or Christ, like the candles of those sanctified to receive this reward. Many have fallen away as tares bundled together, and because many are called but few are chosen, the Bible says. And they represent those who have had their candles removed, like Revelation 2 and 5. Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I come to thee and will move thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. So we know this is necessary to clean the house so that this reward may be given to the sanctified ones. They were actually in this revelation waiting to enter the house, but first it had to be cleaned, right? And that's what's happening. That's happening with us in a wonderful way, a powerful way. I'm talking about us locally, and I'm sure it's happening out there too. Okay, and I want to share with some of you out there how you can make it happen in your house, in your fellowship, and so on and so forth. My dad seemed to be merged with a white-haired man now. And we know this white-haired man real good. And he was sweeping the kitchen floor with an old broom. This white-haired man is the father who is cleaning up his house by sweeping out the wicked and the wickedness, as he said. He said, I will sweep it with the besom, which is a broom, of destruction. Destruction is what happens to factious people and apostates, you know, when they turn away from the Lord. Destruction is what spiritually happens to them. And in most cases, physically happens to them. And ultimately, it will physically happen to them if they don't repent. And this is the same as the barbecue or the burning of the flesh in the left mobile home. He said, I was so impressed with how new and clean everything looked and how big the inside was. Of course, this is a prophecy of things coming, and it's happening here, and I'm sure it's happening out there too for all those that love the bride and love the Lord and want to be in the bride, want to be close to Him, want to be used of Him. It's happening. And when I was reading this, this text came to me as a principle of God, I believe. Literally, it is the timing of the finishing of what Father begins with the man-child and the bride, and that is sanctification. But this is basically the end product of all of it for the church, too. Revelation 21, 5 through 8. And he that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he saith, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, They are come to pass. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Do you thirst after God? Or is it just your own will? You're just taking God along for the ride. Well, he won't go that way. Verse 7, He that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be his God. We have to overcome. Overcome is overcoming sin, and sin is described by the Bible, not by man. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But for the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and fornicators, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. Boy, that covers it right there, all the apostates. Their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You'd better believe it, saints. God is true to his word. He must obey it. This is the burning judgment of the left mobile home. Get out. Repent. I knew in the dream that the man was sweeping up the last little pile of dirt before the house would be totally cleaned and we would be able to completely move into it. All right. You see, the cleaning has to come first. The reward to the bride for a holy life, when the sin, the dirt, the tares, the goats, however you want to describe it, are all removed. Cats. We're waiting for the great reward, but God is waiting on us to be sanctified of the demons and the sin and those who love them, right? And you said, what came to me was Isaiah 14, 19 through 23. But thou art cast forth away from thy sepulcher like an abominable branch, clothed with the slain. I mean, the devil is slaying people, God's people, who don't want to be sanctified, separating them so that the bride may be holy, that are thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a dead body trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land. And, you know, people that do these things, they do destroy their land, and the devil is helping them. And thou hast slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall not be named forever. Prepare ye slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they rise not up and possess the earth and fill the face of the world with cities. That's why the flood came, if you remember. God didn't want the seed of these people to fill the earth. And the flood came to stop this. And as you know, he said it wouldn't be a flood this time, it'd be fire. And now we're reading about it. And I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon name and remnant, and son and son's son, says the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine. You know about porcupine Christians, right? You don't touch them or you'll get stabbed. And pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction. In other words, that's how he's going to clean the house, destruction. The destroyer, Apollyon, right? All the same word, right? Says the Lord of hosts. In other words, Father has planned a burning or destruction of the faction and apostates by the hand of the deep state. We've been talking about that. We've got many, many, many signs of it. And get ready to have a Passover so that you may be preserved through this thing. Holiness is the Passover, right? Eating the lamb. He's in you when you eat him, right? I walked past the kitchen and noticed a smile on the man's face as he continued to sweep the kitchen floor. He was happy, wasn't he? Yeah. He seemed to be amused at how easily impressed I was. Yeah, he is doing an impressive work, folks. We're watching it. It's awesome. And when I got into the narrow hallway, I noticed a golden floor vent that the air conditioning went through. I would represent this probably the Holy Spirit coming into the house, right? And I saw two little mice standing near the vent, and they scattered in fear when they saw me. I was perturbed that the mice were in the house and wondered why. And further below, I found that the cats weren't doing their job. The mice represents the little beasts or sin that has not been dealt with. Yes, and my thought is that the self-willed cats, because that's what they are, were not putting to death their little beasts, for which they will be rejected from the house. We'll get there. There were three large rooms to the left, which is where the goats go, to the left, right, of the hallway, and I opened the door to the first room, and I saw two dressers lining the walls. I then saw a black cat with greenish yellow eyes. Well, we know that cats are known for being self-willed and independent. Like a lot of people are independent of the body. They don't need it. They just come speculate and go home, you know. And the leadership, they're independent of the leadership. In other words, they don't obey the elders. And this is one cat that is walking in darkness. It's a black cat. And it is demon-possessed. Green eyes, green-yellow eyes, right? It hissed at me hatefully and ran out of the room and the house. Well, their hate and evil against the bride drives them from them, as we have seen. It had been hiding in the room and seemed feral. Yes, they first hide in our midst, but they are wild and untamed by the word. But they are leaving in order to sanctify the body. In real life, we had a feral black cat that lived under the left mobile home. How appropriate. The one father identified in other dreams as the factious. I felt sorry for it when I was a child and would leave food for it out on the porch. But it never became tame and always ran away from us. Well, which they always do. It lived under there for years, and we still fed it. And then one day, it must have died because we didn't see it anymore. And this cat represents a rebellious person that has been hiding and is now being exposed to die, she says. And that was so that the room was cleansed too. The house was cleansed so that the bride could live there, right? After this, I went into the next room and saw boxes and piles of stuff and a tan swivel rocker along the far wall of the room. There was a cat box sitting on top of the swivel rocker that was full of litter and hadn't been cleaned in a while. Now we know that the unclean will not dwell in God's house. Numbers 19 and 20 says, "But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from the midst of the assembly," which is what God is doing, "because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water for impurity hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean." Then Eve said, "I saw an orange tabby male and a gray female with faded patches of color on her coat." These three cats were lazy and had not killed all the mice in the house. They weren't doing their jobs, and neither are some Christians. They're not diligent to kill their beastly flesh. She said the tan swivel rocker represents going around and around and up and down and going nowhere in faction. It's true. They don't. The people that I've known, some of them are in this reprobation for years and years and not born any fruit, but rather lost it all. And the curse is all over them and around them and on their children, and they don't even notice it and don't care. Right as I walked in, I caught the male pooping on the floor next to the chair. In other words, leaving their waste in God's house. That's why they need to get out. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? I yelled at him, "No!" and ran over and grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and punished him for pooping in the house. And I went and threw him outside. Oh, good. Well, the cats are types of people who are foreigners in our large house of UBM. And this pooping in the house reminds us of Paul's former religious, legalistic, hate-filled, murderous ways that he called dung. We need those Pauls. We need them to come out from among them like our original Paul did. And, man, they can be a great witness and a powerful testimony to people. We need them. Pray for them, saints. Then, when I came back into the house, I noticed that my dad, representing our father, had rebuilt the doorway and the entryway. In other words, after getting rid of the cats, he rebuilt the doorway and the entryway. And he made it more ornate and much narrower. She said a person had to enter much more carefully now. She said this represents that as the house gets cleaner, the entrance gets more narrow for those trying to enter in. And her verse is Luke 13 and 24. Strive to enter in by the narrow door, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. You see, you need to go when God's calling. He makes people able. He makes us able to enter into all that he is. But if you insult him and you insult his Holy Spirit and you are stubborn and self-willed, you'll not make it. You'll try one day desperately because you can see things closing in around you, but you won't be able to go in. And what came to me was Isaiah 52 and 1. Awake, awake, and put on strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Yes, God's about to draw a line, and these people will not enter this bride. Oh, yes, you can enter natural Jerusalem over there in the Middle East and be just as dirty as you want to, but you can't enter into this holy city, which is being born from above, the Bible says. Then I grabbed some white paper towels from the kitchen to go and clean up the cat poop. All the while, the man steadily kept sweeping the kitchen floor. I believe the process of getting rid of the cats and cleaning up their mess is synonymous with the father sweeping up the last little bit of dirt in the kitchen. That's a good word. I like that. I've been working hard for this for years. His word is our food, right? Made in his spiritual kitchen. And it's made to sweep out the house, right? So, as I entered the second room again, I saw that the female cat was scared because she saw that I did what I did to the male, and she jumped up into the litter box and began frantically digging the litter down to the bottom of the box. Ugh. But she hung her hind end over the edge of the litter box and pooped in the same place as the male had. Well, I've noticed this, and this may not be the full picture, but I've noticed that wives have overwhelmingly followed in the steps of their husbands when they factioned in the house. Birds of a feather flock together, we know that. But anyway, wives are subject to their husbands, and when the husband falls away, the wives do too. I'm just telling you. And the children do too. And I yelled at her, "No!" And then she ran in fear out of the house. I was so disgusted with having to clean up all that cat poop and upset that they messed in such a beautiful and clean house. But the last cat left the larger house. Notice, right? And this could represent a remnant of rebels leaving larger UBM to get the bride ready for the reward. Because the reward is, in part, the house, right? I went into the kitchen and got a white trash bag and took it into the second room and cleaned up the poop and threw it into the trash. And along with the litter box and all its contents. In other words, we're not going to have this anymore, right? It was such a messy job, and I couldn't wait to throw it out of the house and to wash my hands. And I was complaining to the man sweeping the floor as I went to throw the trash bag into the can on the porch. And as I was walking towards the front door, the man was angry and disappointed at the cats. And he said to me, "I guess I'll have to take away their reward." Yes, when people don't overcome, they don't get a reward. And these are those who are stubborn and self-willed, and they will get no reward. They will not get the reward of the house, right? He said this with sadness, and us too, we're sad about it. As he finally grabbed the dustpan and swept the last little pile of dirt into it to toss it outside. And she left John 15 and 16, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are burned." There's the burning of the left mobile home again. And then she woke up. So the bride is a great reward. And they have a great reward. So don't miss it, saints. Many will not even have the least reward and will be cast out into outer darkness. So take heed to 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. "Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves." Notice, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Are you waiting for God to do this? Or are you taking his promises as your two-edged sword to cut this out of your life? Are you waiting on God? You might be waiting a long time if you're not obedient to sanctify yourselves, as the Bible says. Notice that after the last sin and sinner left the house, the reward was given. They moved into the larger house. Saints, this sin and sinners have been holding up the reward. So I've encouraged you to sanctify yourselves. Repent of sinful thoughts and ways and confess your sins and pray one for another that you may be part of the clean bride so that you will receive the reward of the larger, white, and holy house. Remember, the bride was chosen from among all the women to go to the house of the King. Yes. So this is all very clear. Either the sin goes or the person goes. Brethren, we are concentrating on getting cleaned up for the Lord and his rewards to the bride. He has led us to have deliverance sessions for those who have asked in our local body, and most are taking advantage of it. Praise be to God. You can do this in your family or your group. Listen to what it says again. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Can you perfect holiness or separation from sin unto God? That's what he says. Let us cleanse ourselves. So I've done some teachings on just this, deliverance. And I want to share this with you. I did this for a purpose. I've been doing this for a purpose. And that is so that people can know that you can clean yourself up. It's always helpful to have brethren around you that are full of the Spirit of God to help you with the deliverance, always. And it's a good confession to confess your sins in front of others. There's power in that. There's real power in that. People with rejection and faction, they won't confess anything because they don't believe they have anything. Their mind has been totally reprobated, you know. So what's been happening here with us locally, and I suggest it on the larger part, and that is that everyone is making a list of their temptations or their sins, which are also names of demons like rejection, fear, anger, faction, lust, etc. This is a way to confess sins, this list. Follow me here with this, okay? This is a way to confess sins which God then promises to deliver you from, like in 1 John 1, 7 through 9. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's an awesome promise. But people don't confess their sins. They blame everybody else. And for that, you get nothing. You bear no fruit, and you're going to be cast forth into outer darkness unless you repent and cleanse yourself, right? We have the promises. The promises is that it's already done. We need to hold on to and speak those promises and swing our sword. So we've been using this list from each person to quickly get to the deliverance of demons of known temptations, and then forcefully commanding the demons that are not mentioned in this way to give their names. So we got the list. We command those demons out of the person. And we're seeing them come out. And they're feeling them come out. And they're coming out with manifestations. Not always. Sometimes they're quiet, but they still come out. People feel them coming out, so on, right? So then when we get through with the list of known things, we go to the unknown things, like commanding the demons that aren't mentioned in the list to give their names. And we do it in the name of Jesus. And so we cast these unknown ones out too, right? They may speak their name in the mind or with the mouth of the person being delivered. So you need to tell the person to cooperate and to give the name if they hear it. They could speak it out of their mouth, and they might not even have control over that sometimes, and it just the names are spoken. But they have to obey, and you have to know that they have to obey so that they have to obey. If you know, you have authority, and they know if you're very uncertain, right? So be forceful and have faith. And these names, by the way, they could be very strange, like different languages of peoples or false gods, etc. Throughout the centuries that demons have dealt with humans, that they have inhabited, they have taken their names sometimes, they've taken other demons' names or famous evil people's names. They do all kinds of things. So if you hear something strange, something you've never heard before, don't worry about it. Just command it to come out. They will obey you if you believe it. Mark 16:17 says, "And these signs shall accompany them that believe." This is the condition that you believe. You have this authority from God. "In my name they shall cast out demons." So what are you waiting for? Jesus demonstrated this. His disciples demonstrated this. It's for all Christians to cast out demons. He said, "These signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons." And Luke 9:1 says, "And he called the 12 together, gave them power and authority over all demons, to cure diseases." And Luke 10:19, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions," which are categories of demons, "and over all the power of the enemy." You have authority over all the power of the enemy. Just know they have to obey you. "And nothing shall in any wise hurt you." Also, ask God for words of knowledge or wisdom and discerning of spirits too. God can speak to you what is there. He does quite often do that. And you should command the demons to tell the truth, because they will lie to you if you don't do that. And to not hide, because they want to hide. They want to act like they're not there. They're trembling. They're afraid. They don't want to be cast out. They hide. And to not move from place to place, because people can feel them. When you start commanding them, believe me, people are going to start feeling them move around in there. And they try to reach out and grab something so that they don't go flying out of there, you know. So they want to move around from place to place. You command them and they'll move to another place. But so just command them. You can stop moving around in the name of Jesus. Just come out in the name of Jesus, right? And sometimes they will manifest ways to try to stay by holding on to some part of the person's insides, literally, which can be felt as pressure or pain or burning or tingling or many other manifestations. And Father has been doing a really tremendous job in our local body. There is so much elation and rejoicing. It's just amazing. Our last meeting was just full of testimonies. That's of people that got delivered of stuff they thought was, in some cases, thought it was normal for them and they never would be delivered of it, you know, or something they got when they were a child and always lived with it or whatever, you know. It's just wonderful. It's wonderful. And that's because God at this time is sweeping his house. He is giving a lot of grace to people to receive this. And we quite often, you know, command demons to come out over the phone or, you know, in emails and things like that. They still have to obey you. So, like I said, there's much elation and rejoicing and testimonies of demons being removed, even from childhood. They sometimes come out with various manifestations, like coughing or yawning or gagging, crying, physical feelings, etc. So let me just exhort you to do this. A lot of people get caught in this. Don't stand around and keep commanding them, for then they know that you don't understand your authority. They know that you don't believe that when you say something, they have to do it. You can speak it and walk away. They still have to do it. And they'll play games with you. They'll come up and down. They'll act like they're coming out, and then they'll go back down. And then they're trying to get you to act according to sight, not according to faith. And once they get you in that game, it's a torment. It takes forever and ever to get them out, and sometimes they just don't come out. Or they act like they came out, and they didn't. Right? Jesus didn't do this. You know, he gave the command. He expected it to be obeyed. You know, and we have the same authority. As the Father sent me, so send I you. We have the same authority. So just forcefully command give the command and move on to the next one. You don't have to stick around. Just you know he's gone, and I even say that sometimes. He's gone. He's gone in the name of Jesus, and move on to the next one. They may come out immediately, or they could come out for several days, just as long as you hold fast to the confession of your hope that it waver not, they will come out. Because you know you have authority and you speak it. If you know what Jesus said and you believe it and you speak it, it will happen. When the person feels free in the meeting, in the deliverance meeting, always pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you will feel waves of the Holy Spirit going into them. I do. After a deliverance like this, they get a special anointing from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves a clean house. He loves a clean house. And also, you need to exhort them to stay in the Word, for the Word drives out the demons. And it keeps them out. So God is giving us a lot of grace right now for this cleaning up process. You know, let me share Debbie Finsky's word that she gave to us in our meeting. And we called it Words of Mercy and Grace Offered. So, because God is giving special grace right now to clean up the house. He wants everybody to be ready for this bride, right? And Debbie said, last Friday during the worship at our evening meeting, Jesus spoke a word to me that I shared with everybody. We had been singing a couple of songs about his mercy and his grace, his holiness, and our belonging to him. He started saying things to me throughout the first of those two songs, but I didn't feel to share directly after that song. But the Lord spoke more through the second song. And he said, yes, my children, I am your Lord, and I am holy, and I am yours, and you are mine. My children, I am showering my grace and mercy upon you. And this has proven to be true. It has been proven to be true. Come under the full showers of my grace and my mercy. Some of you are standing only on the edge. You feel you are not worthy, but you are worthy, my child. I remember knowing then the Lord was speaking to a specific person when he said, child, there. You are worthy to me. You are made worthy by my great sacrifice, my children. That's true. Those that are counted worthy, right? I tell you, you are mine and you are worthy. This past Monday during our evening meeting, the Lord reinforced his words to us regarding his mercy and his grace. He put in my heart during the day a song called Holy Spirit Rain Down. It ministered to me so much that I kept singing it, so I felt to have it played for everyone at the meeting that night. And on the way to the meeting, I was singing Holy Spirit Rain Down in the car. And when the Lord started speaking words to me, prior to having the song played, I shared with everyone what the Lord had said to me as I sang this song on the way to the meeting. And though I gave the word in the third person, I will give it here now. Jesus spoke it to me in the car. How Jesus spoke it to me in the car. I am raining down showers of my mercy and my grace. Come under. For I am doing a cleansing, and I am doing a work of healing. Deep wounds and hurts in hearts due to the enduring of much faction. Receive the rain of my mercy and grace that goes deep, that is working to restore and to heal. I prayed for a confirming word at random from the Bible, and I did not use my regular Bible as I have in my bedroom with me, but only my 2-year reading Bible. So no matter where I'm opening up the Bible, I have no clue where the word I am at. I haven't looked, but that day's reading must have been blessed to me because I actually opened to the most to a mostly blank page. My finger landed on what I had written on that page, all in big letters, Psalm 34 and 17, which says, Lord, you are close to the brokenhearted. You rescue those who are crushed in spirit. Thank you, Father, for being our comforter and the healer of our broken and hurting hearts. Thank you, mostly Holy Lord, for your great mercy and great grace. Amen. And let me say that purity is the way to escape coming judgments, right? We must escape what is coming. We must keep a spiritual Passover by faith in the blood of the Lamb. The Lord is going to use the Babylonish deep state to judge apostate Christianity, according to the Bible, by sword, famine, pestilence, and fire, as the word says. And we want to escape this by our Passover lamb. And to eat the Passover lamb is to make him a part of your being, right? You know, Eve dreamed, she said, the hospital I worked at looked like a large stadium, warehouse combination. The warehouse in her previous dream was where snow kept falling into the people, and it turned into coral snakes that bit everyone, and they died. These kill people by stopping their breathing, just like the poison chemtrails. So he went on to say, I was walking through it with the lady I worked with in sterile processing. There were masses of people laying all over on mats and sitting up against the walls of the place. I was asking my co-worker what happened, and she was telling me a bad plague was infecting large masses of people. She said, all these people have come here to die. It's so pitiful and such a shame. And Eve said that she saw Christians there lying, dying a slow, painful death because of missing their spiritual Passover. So, thank you, Father, for this revelation. Thank you for anointing the brethren out there to clean up their families, wives, husbands, groups, that they be prepared for this great reward that's coming. Thank you so much, Father, for doing this. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for joining us, saints. And we ask the Lord to bless Michael Hare and anoint his teaching, and let the brethren be blessed mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.